Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Guilds of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filion. I'm here this week with my illustrious co-host, B. Steve.
Hi, Paul.
You know, I feel privileged to be recording with you, Steve, as you are now ranked, if I'm not mistaken, 100th best Guild Ball player in the world.
I don't know.
Broken the top 100. Yeah.
Did I?
According to Longshanks, yeah.
Oh, I didn't check. I only checked after the Nationals, but I was in the top 200, but I didn't check lately.
Maybe you're making a liar out of me. I'm pretty sure you're like in the top 100.
Okay, well, that's nice.
Yeah. Or maybe you were in the top 200. Well, now I don't know, but I'm still privileged to have you.
Okay.
No matter what your worldwide ranking is, you're number one in my heart.
Oh, that's so sweet, Paul.
Or possibly a close second after Antoine. But
yeah. Yeah, nobody's going to take Antoine's place.
Well, Antoine's a sweetheart. And it's unfortunate he couldn't be with us today. He's got a lot going on in his life. That poor, poor man cannot catch a break.
No.
His schedule's been crazy. My schedule's been crazy. I'm actually recording off from vacation because, you know, that's how much I love this game.
On the road recording, but
exactly.
Not really on the road.
Yeah, exactly. But I have to say, this is a much more laid-back recording situation, as I'm now kind of like lying down on a bed with an iPad doing the recording. It's much more relaxed than I'm used to. I will attempt not to fall asleep mid-recording.
I'll try not to bore you with too many tactics and details when we go through the Fateful, because we're going to talk about the Fatefuls today.
Yep. And there is a lot to talk about. A lot of big changes coming to the game, I think, with these guys. I'm not particularly happy about it because we've had the cards for a little while.
Yeah.
And we've been testing stuff. And all I'm going to say is blacksmith opponents, beware. But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So we're going to start first off here with my man, Sakana.
Well, first off, do you want to say who are the Fateful?
Oh, sure.
We can go over
the list.
Not, maybe up to date or
sure.
Lying under a rock. So basically, a month ago, beginning of June, no, end of May, actually, we got the Exile, who were player from the Union, who went back to their former guild with the result of the community event that was held last fall. And for the rest of the team who didn't get an Exile player, they're getting Fateful player. So basically it's people who stayed faithful to their guild and didn't change alliance. So we have six
Hold on. How do you figure they stayed faithful to the... Some of these people definitely left their guilds to go elsewhere.
Well, yeah, but they're faithful in another way.
Okay,
they're
fair
faithful
enough.
To the church now.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Please continue.
Yeah, kind of. And so we can go maybe with the first one from your beloved fisherman.
Yep. So, Veteran Sakana. Do you actually want to go through the whole playbook? How do you want to do this? You want to be the quick and dirty method?
Yeah, usually we do a quick and dirty method, talk about a bit of the playbook and a couple of key playbook play. And
all right. I got you. I'm just making sure.
No, it's okay.
Because I know you're super enthused. So maybe you want to do a crazy deep dive where I could walk away for 20 minutes and then come back and go on to the next character. You know?
Well, most of the cards have been spoiled already. And when we release the podcast, all the cards are going to be released. So people will be able to refer to them and see what we're talking about. But give our thoughts on each player. You're a bit more hobby oriented than me. Do you want to talk about the render?
Sure.
How it looks?
Sure. I think was that a backhanded like compliment, Steve? Because you're more hobby oriented than I am.
Well, so, you're. Yeah. Well, actually,
it's true. But it's funny the way you said it was kind of like a
No, but you're less of a tournament player than I am.
That's true. I've never played in a tournament.
You pay for fun, and I pay for events.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I'm a dirty casual. That's okay. So yeah, let's talk about Sakana. I'll talk a little about the model.
Can we talk about the artwork where he looks super depressed?
Yeah, he's kind of like emo Sakana in the artwork. I will say that. Yeah. But you know what? The Guild Ball artwork has always been a little bit all over the place. I mean, look at Decimate. Original Decimate.
Oh, yeah. But they
it's changed. A guy, but it's a girl. But it's a guy, but it's a girl. And, but even if it was a guy, it's a terrible picture of a guy. Obviously, the art has come a long way.
Is better.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. But
and the new one is really good, though.
Yeah. Yes, yes. But let's not talk about her. Otherwise, Yom may show up.
Well, you forget to...
He's like Voldemort, right? You can't say his name out loud.
You forgot anyway. To say where Yom sucks at the beginning, but we cannot say that anymore since he has Vet Brisket. He sucks less. Vet Decimate, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say Veteran Brisket.
No. What? Vet Decimate, he sucks way less now.
Yeah, that's... The sucking had nothing to do with his team. Same. Okay. So, yeah, the artwork, good artwork. Like you said, though, he looks super emo, super depressed. The model actually looks better. He's kind of like got his chin raised, looking up towards. Looks like he's looking up towards the sky a little bit. Very proud.
A pirate flag.
I like the model. I like the concept. The pose strikes me as odd because he's kind of got like the hip kind of shifted outwards.
Yeah,
it's almost like he's trying to do the sexy model stance, but he's a fisherman guy. It just looks a little weird on him.
Well, maybe he's doing this for Siren. We don't know.
And it would be an odd pose even for a woman athlete to be standing in on the pitch, but at least I could kind of understand what they're going for with that. This looks really weird, especially with his back leg kind of up a little bit in the render.
Yeah.
It's a bit of an odd pose. But the details are really nice. The scale mail, little details on his legs and stuff. I like the flag attached to his...
pole arm.
Yeah, whatever it is. I guess it's a pole arm. That weapon didn't change from his original.
No. Did he have a bandana like that in the original one?
No, he has short, spiky hair. So yeah. The bandana is new. He's gone full-on badass.
Yeah, he's pirate Sakana now.
Or biker Sakana. It's hard to tell. Okay, so looking at his stat line, not a lot has changed there.
He kept his 2-inch melee and... Yep. His stats are exactly the same, I'm not mistaken, right?
You are not mistaken. They're identical.
Except for one small detail. His influence. Because he was 2-4, and now he's 1-3. But there's a reason for that.
Exactly. Looking at his playbook, he's got a tackle on one, non-momentous, which is nice. Because there's not a whole lot of tackles on one fish. There's a couple, but... Angel and someone else. Maybe I'm sick. Maybe it's just Angel.
Grayscale is on 2, right?
It's on 2, yeah. And I think Sharks. So tackle on 1's nice, non momentous. He doesn't have any momentous plays in his first slot, which is weird for fish. That's pretty strange. We do, however, have on 3, we have momentous character play. And what's cool is you get a choice because he's got 2 character plays. Both of them can only proc off his playbook. So you get to pick which one you want to do, which is neat.
And it's momentous as well, so that's pretty nice.
Yes, exactly. So the first one is fancy footwork, which is basically you get to steal the ball. So it's like a tackle, but with a 4-inch range.
Yeah, but it's better than tackle because if the model you're doing the tackle has close control... You bypass close control.
Yeah, because it's not a tackle. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's 4 inches away, so that's...
Which means you can steal the ball off someone 4 inches away while you're beating up, you know, the mascot or something.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Exactly.
And his other play is raise the black flag.
Which I like a lot.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, target enemy model, which is in the 6-inch range, suffers a -2/-2 move, and choose a friendly model within 6 inches of this model to gain a +2/+2 move. That is going to be crazy with fish.
Yeah, who wouldn't love a 9/11 movement shark, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You never tried it yet, so I'm safe for now.
Yeah, exactly. Shark? Crazy threat? I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah. Look at his other stuff, his character traits. He kept the anatomical precision, which is nice. Now, here's what he gained, and this is a big difference, and I'm not sure how it fits thematically, but he got Bag of Coffers, which we've seen on Coin.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Well, because it's more pirate, I guess.
You keep calling him. He's not a pirate. He's a fisherman.
Well, he looks like a pirate, so that's why.
All the fishermen kind of look like pirates.
Well, yeah, but he, like Corsair as well, and he fits more in the...
Well, Corsair is a pirate. I think that's the difference.
Well, that's why.
The Neil and Corsair, yeah.
He's moving towards Corsair.
There we go. Are we going to see Season Sakana next? Who knows?
Who knows?
Captain Season Sakana?
Ooh.
All right. So, back prediction. You heard it here first, guys. Bag of Coffers. So, once per turn, target from the non-captain guild model within 4 inches is allocated one influence. The target model may use bonus time once during its activation without spending MP. This is really awesome.
This is
being able to hand out influence to people.
Yeah.
So as the turn unfolds, you realize, oh shoot, I can do this now with this model, but I didn't give her enough influence him enough.
And it's the free bonus time as well. So you use that on Siren, so she'll get a bonus time on her seduce. That's pretty nice.
Yeah. I use it on Shark, so I don't miss my tap-in kicks on 5 days anymore or whatever.
But it's allocate and not gain, so you cannot go over your maximum influence, though.
That's true.
So you have to be careful. Or you can do it on Tentacle for bonus time blind as well. Like if you don't put any influence on Tentacle and there's an opportunity... You just use it.
Yeah, spend the one, blind. The blind, yeah. And then get 2 dice on it.
Yeah.
That's a smart move. I hadn't thought of that.
The
question, if your model's already at max influence, can you still do this? They just don't get the influence, but they still get the free bonus time?
Yeah, they'll get the bonus time, but you'll waste the influence.
Well, that still might be useful, right?
Oh.
Depending on what you want to do.
You're losing one influence, basically, because since he got down from 2-4 to 1-3, this kind of compensates the influence you lost.
Yeah, no, I realize that.
You're just saving a momentum.
I realize that. Okay. And then everything else is basically, I think it covers pretty much everything that's important.
Yeah.
Next, let's talk about some chisel. So who we got? We got Veteran Chisel here.
Yeah.
Still with the Mason.
Yeah. She kept her big hammer, and something that's noted that was in the blog post as well, it's a... She's more, she kind of realized that she shouldn't have sided with Hammer, for captain, and she's going back to kind of the old ways of, honor. And on the render, we can see that she has, Honor's hammer on her side.
Yep. And I think she's also wearing,
her armor as well.
Yeah.
So she's up to 3-2 now. As before, she was a 3-1 model.
Yep. So she got a little more resilience.
Yeah.
Talking about the model, I think the sculpt is really, really nice.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I like the pose.
And the detail, all the detail in the armor is really nice. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how that translates. Well, these are going to be resin, right?
No, so they're metal.
Well, they are going to be metal?
Yeah, this is the last metal. Because like after that, even the limited edition for the Navigator, like Horizon, he's going to be in resin, colored resin.
Oh, there you go. Did not realize that. Okay, so I mean the model looks like it's really nice. I really like the pose. Like all Guild Ball models, not all, but like most of them, it's just a bit static pose, but it still looks nice. And then looking over at her bar.
Her playbook. Well, she kept her 2-inch melee.
Yep.
And she gained one tack. She gained one kick. And as we said, she gained one armor.
Yeah, so she's a bit beefier.
But she lost her crazy, so she's more reasonable than she was, I guess. So she has a shorter playbook, and she has the... classic, if you want, Mason playbook with momentous result up to half her playbook, and the big damage and big result are non-momentous like all the Mason's playbook.
Yeah, I mean, momentous tackle on one's always nice.
Yeah, And she has a momentous one damage with a push dodge
on three,
which is pretty nice. And if you really feel lucky, you have a non-momentous three and a push dodge on five. But
five, you're not going to see that very often. But I think her playbook is interesting. I think she's going to have a place on the team.
She's really more a support model because of all her character traits and character play. So the first character play she has, it's for one influence and it range of six. So and target other model, a friendly model gains assist chisel. So we've seen assist most of the time on mascot like Dirge and on the Rat and on Naja as well in the Alchemist, and now you have it with her as well. So that's pretty nice, and she's 2-inch melee. So if you, it's easy to engage model and just beat up the crap of the player. That's pretty nice. But it's skull, it gains a, so it's stacked. I don't know if it could stack with, if you play Honor and marbles, because marble has assist as well, so I'm not sure if it's...
I would think it doesn't, because it's called the same thing.
Yeah.
Right, so you can only have assist once. If the ability wasn't called assist, it was called something else.
Yeah, but the ability is called squad tactic, so...
No, but you gain assist.
Yeah, right, so and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You're right.
I know.
So it wouldn't stack.
Look at me sounding like I know what I'm talking about.
But all right. Character traits are quite interesting.
Yeah, you mentioned that she has the first character play, but she only has one character play.
The character trait, she has two.
Sorry. Yes. Well, go ahead.
So the first one is Share the Burden. It's a 6-inch aura. So once per turn, when a friendly guild model within this aura suffer condition, this model, this model is not already suffering other than the taken out condition, this model may suffer the condition instead of a friendly guild model. So basically, this is what's going to replace the one that Millstone has in the Farmer's Guild. It has been confirmed on another podcast by a Steamforge
employee.
Yeah. So that's pretty nice.
So basically, this lets you steal a condition off someone.
Yeah, exactly.
And transfer it to this model.
Basically, it saves you a counterattack if the other player, if you attack, you get a counterattack and the person knocks down your player. She takes the knockdown. So it's so good. So versatile.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a 6-inch aura.
Yeah.
So I knock you down. No, you knock over this guy that's way over here. How?
And it's going to be interesting because with Vet Harmony, because Vet Harmony can decide to take the damage as well from the player. So with both of them, Vet Harmony is within 4 inches and her it's 6, but you can build a protect another model if you want to go for beating down or if you're fragile or anything. Both of them will be able to save a couple of player.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Should be able to get some real longevity out of the players.
Yeah.
And then next is Adaptive Strategy.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, so 6-inch pulse. Once during the small's activation, the controlling player may choose another friendly model within the pulse. Remove any number of influence from the friendly model within the pulse and allocate it to the chosen model. That is pretty awesome.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Because you can have Mallet activate twice with full influence. Or like most of the time, if you usually you'll put a couple of influence on Flint and just in case you get the opportunity to score. Now, if you don't get the opportunity, you can remove the influence from Flint and put it on somebody else that's going to matter.
Yep.
So, and combine with Honor's superior strategy, which make another player activate a second time. So you can activate a player, empty up all his influence, superior strategy, then use Chisel, transfer back some influence on that model, and he gets another full activation.
Woo, way to go.
So Mallet can really do some damage.
Yeah, that's going to be slightly broken. But that's okay.
Well, it's not... I mean, if you do that, the rest of the team won't do anything because it's not new influence. You just recycle your influence.
No, I understand. So, I still think it's going to be slightly broken in certain... But that's okay.
It's more okay. Of a redistribution. Because what is good, it's in during the turn. So that's what's awesome about it.
Yeah.
Next one. Spigot.
Yeah. So
Season Spigot.
Yeah. So we got some design in the model here. So now he's a churchy.
Yeah.
He's now part of the Church of Sulthesius.
He finishes complete redemption because from the season one drunken bastard to the more sober up veteran version in season two. Now in season three, he saw the light. He's all good and all purified.
There you go. They tortured the bad Adam. The model looks great. Yeah. I really like... He has a dynamic pose.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. Finally, we have a dynamic pose.
But it's not dynamic over the top. Like, there are other poses that are dynamic, but they make no sense. Like, you know, Lord of the Dance Shark.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what is Shark doing? He's, like, on one leg. Like, he thinks he's the Karate Kid. I don't know. But there's a lot of kind of, like, wacky poses. This looks really cool.
Yeah, it looks really nice. And he's, like, he has part of... armor like grace and benediction as well. With all the church and ornament symbol on the plate and the church belt.
Yeah, he looks awesome. I'm really going to enjoy painting him.
And church brass knuckle.
Well,
did you see you have the wave of the Sulthesian symbol in the brass knuckle?
I know exactly what it is. Yeah,
it's so awesome.
Pretty awesome.
He has a bit of a Tom Selleck look with this mustache, maybe.
Well, okay, kind of. Now you mentioned Tom Selleck, yeah, I see that. But yeah, he is kind of crazy. So we've got his stat line basically stayed the same, except he went up in armor, right?
Yeah, it's pretty similar to what he. Well, he, I think it's really a mix of a regular
and veteran
one. Really a mix of both because his stats line are more like veteran except he got 1 point of armor more. So his playbook is really football oriented a bit, but with some damage there as well.
Yeah, you've got a momentous 2 on 3 and a momentous 3 on 5.
Yeah.
You have a non-momentous tackle on 1, which is nice.
And a momentous tackle push dodge on 4, which is pretty nice if you want to play the ball game.
Yep.
And he kept his ball gun from the veteran version as well.
Mm-hmm. Procking on a playbook result of 2 non-momentous. And balls gone is always a nice thing to have.
Exactly.
You know, looking at his character
another
traits,
way to bypass close control.
Close control, yep. Speaking of which, he has close control.
Which he had in the season version as well.
In veteran version?
Veteran version, sorry.
Yeah. And then he kept floored, right? Floored was something he had before.
Yeah, which is from his drunken age of season 1.
Yeah,
so that's exactly why it's a mix of both. And with floored, I mean, if player is knocked down, getting that momentous 3, it's going to be easy.
Yeah. And now this is where he gets cool.
Yeah.
His heroic play is going to be awesome. Because basically his rogue play lets him activate a model out of sequence or out of activation to make a free pass within 6 inches. So that's really cool. So you can have a ball that's on a model that's already activated, you know, and the ball would normally be dead until the next turn where you could activate that model and pass it off of him or whatever. But now you can just send in Spigot, use his heroic play, get that model to free pass the ball to wherever.
So basically, he's a better Bonsa. That's what you're telling me, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Actually, you and reading the game, you can use it to give him a 8 inches more of threat range because you pass the model, the ball to a model, you dodge 4 inches of that pass. That model, you then you use your heroic to get the ball back to you.
Back. And then you dodge again. And then you've got 8 inches of move, right?
Plus 8 inches of kick. So that's a 24 range potential threat range for goal.
It is very, very cool.
And it's you have 8 inches of dodge in there. So that's pretty non-linear.
Yep.
And you can, with all the dodges, since he's 4-8 kick, even if you're engaged by one player, you can use that to disengage yourself with that 4-inch dodge from the initial pass.
Yep, agreed.
So he's pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't had much luck with him on the field, but it's just the games I've played, I just couldn't get him in a position where he could really
I think we could talk about the game when we talked after we talk about the last player. The last two players, because then
I don't really want to talk about that game.
Well, we played two games, so we have two games to talk about.
That's true. That's true. That second one's still giving me nightmares, Steve. All right, but anyway, on to the next player. Another churchy. We have veteran Fangtooth.
He's tactic, but damn, he's awesome.
Yeah, they've tortured the disease out of him.
They're purified him.
Yeah, and it was funny. When I looked at the model, I thought he was fully armored, and then I just realized a little while ago that he's got a breastplate and like the girdle and stuff and the knee pads. But on his arms, it's not armor, that's scar tissue.
Yeah, he was burned down to be purified by the church.
They burned the boils off of him.
Exactly. He's really nice. He's wielding a huge mace.
Yeah, which doesn't really amount to much, because his tack didn't really change.
Yeah, but now he's 2-inch melee.
That's true. Wasn't he 2 inches before?
No, he was 1 inch before.
Was he? Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought he was.
And he's still, he's faster now.
He
was 4'6", now he's 5'7". And he gained one kick as well, and one armor, because... You know, the church.
He's a churchy. Yeah, he's wearing armor. Yeah, running away from the fire really helped him out. He improved. yeah, and you know, looking at his playbook, he's got some cool results. He's got
the first model ever in Guild Ball to have 2 damage on the first column.
Yep, and he's got a Momentous 3 on the second column.
That's so awesome.
Knockdown double push on the third. And then ground pound being triggered off the fourth column momentously. And we'll talk about ground pound in a second because it's amazing. And then on fifth column, he's got momentous 6 damage.
Which is pretty awesome. Nuts.
Yeah. He is going to murderize people. But surprisingly, he's a toolbox character.
Yeah.
He's not just a beat them up. I mean, I don't think I used him as anything but a toolbox.
Ground pound a lot, but not through playbook, but with using paying the influence with the character play.
Yeah.
Which caught me off guard, I must admit, the first time you did it.
Well, the problem was with all your armor, there was no way I could trigger it off the playbook.
Exactly.
Anyway, ground pound. Is that the first time we've seen ground pound?
No, the goalkeeper from What's the him? Butcher. What's his name? Tenderizer has it as well.
Oh, he has it. Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't realize. Okay, so.
So basically, it's a knockdown and a 2-inch pulse. Sorry, and it pushes people away from him and causes damage and knockdown.
Yeah.
But it's all models, so sometimes you have to do worthy sacrifice.
Exactly. It's
all for the cause, for the greater
good. Exactly. It's all about the greater good. But it's fairly easy to position him so that you don't end up taking out your own guys.
Yeah.
Looking at the character traits, we've got Flagellant, which comes in really handy.
Well, we have Broken Thigh, which is there only until Season 4.
Yeah.
So if you play him with Vet Rage, you cannot make him attack. true Red Fury. Red Fury.
Yeah, exactly. Flagellant, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So you take 4 damage and you remove all the conditions from a friendly model within 4 inches. And since Fangtooth has 22 boxes, 4 damage ain't so bad.
You can take it a couple of times.
Exactly.
And it's friendly model, so it can be on himself as well if he's knocked down and you don't have momentum.
Yeah, you can just
whoop. It's pretty good if you start the turn, like if you want to start with him and activate and do a surprise, get up and move, even though the other one planned, you couldn't do it because you wouldn't have the momentum. So that's pretty nice.
Yeah, pardon me. And then Potbelly Pass.
It's
Potbelly Pass was hilarious. You can
just imagine him doing that, like, boop.
Yeah, exactly. So once per turn, this model receives a successful pass. Instead of making a teamwork action, it can spend 1 momentum to immediately make a pass without spending influence. Now, what's cool, though, is it doesn't stop the passer from making a teamwork action.
Exactly.
So you can pass to him. The passer does the teamwork action, bumps up 4 inches, and then the potbelly pass goes back to him.
Yeah, exactly. Same as...
Same as we talked about with Spigot, right? So you get a free 8 inches of movement. Mind you, that would cost you a momentum to do it.
Yeah, 3 momentum to do it.
Well, but the passes pay for the passes pay for the dodges, so that doesn't really count. Your end result is you're down 1 momentum, right? Your net result.
Yeah. But that's another. That's more dodges if you want to use it with Season Spigot.
That's right.
But he, mind you, he's only 2-6 kick though. It's a bit riskier than with a 4-8 kick Season Spigot.
This is true. This is very true. And then another great ability is you have resilience. So the first time he's hit by an attacker character play that targets a small and does damage. He can ignore it.
So basically, this replaces Glutamous Mass. It's the new name for Glutamous Mass because they felt, Steamforge felt they were stuck to put that ability only on
big guys.
Yeah, on big models. So now you can have it on like just beefier models without them being big for Glutamous Mass.
I want to clarify something. I misspoke. It's not about damage. The character play doesn't have to do damage. I misunderstood.
Yeah, exactly.
When we played, I thought I had to do damage. It doesn't have to do damage. You can just ignore any character play.
Exactly. So that's why I rolled the dice like, okay, it doesn't matter. You just ignore it.
But it is mandatory. It's not optional, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not may. It is, yeah. So he's going to be a great addition to the Churchies. Now, if we could just fix Brisket, life would be good. Okay.
Yeah, she needs a bit of a tweak.
Yeah, she's not horrible. I mean, there's worse models out there, but she seems kind of clunky in places. Anyway, that's a topic for another podcast. All right, that takes us to a veteran calculus.
Yeah. The model, we only saw the model recently, and I really like the render.
I like the fact that it's like it makes me think of. Was it Babe Ruth who used to point towards the bleachers?
Yeah,
to
say he was exactly.
She's got that kind of like pointing out pose
where she's gonna throw her and sticky she's bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the boots on her as well, and she's more dynamic than other model as well. Like we talked previously, and she has all the vials and everything that she used to have as well on the season 1 model, but. She's a bit more dynamic, less static, and pointing, and like the way her legs are, she's really like in mid-throwing.
Yep. No, I think she's super nice. This box is going to be have a lot of nice models in it, that's all I'm going to say. All right, looking at the stat line, I don't know calculus very well, so did the stat line change, Steve? Do you know?
Yeah, she gained 1 tack, she gained 2 inches of kick, and the rest is the same.
Oh, a 3-8 kick.
Yeah, she used to be 3-6. Now she's 3-8, so that's pretty good.
And 5 tack is always good.
Yeah. and she's more football oriented because she gained a tackle on a momentous tackle on 2.
Yep.
And a momentous tackle dodge on 5.
Which yeah, I mean, you're not going to proc that very often, but
only on charges most of the time.
Yeah.
And she has a couple of damage, but it's all non-momentous.
Yeah. Not her forte.
But her character play is quite interesting.
It's so we have a 3-inch AoE, yeah? Hmm. Yeah, all models hit. All models hit suffer -2/-2.
The thing that is, that's really good because you cannot clear it. Like, unlike burning gives you -2/-2 move, but you can clear it with momentum.
Yeah, it's not a condition.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty good. If you get 2 players, you can hit 2 players with that. Combine, as we said, with burning. Yeah, you're slowing people down a lot. And you're going to make them waste.
Oh, I never even thought about stacking it with burning.
Yeah. You stack it with burning and you're at -4/-4. Sure, you can clear the burning, but still, you're going to use momentum to use that. So,
mm-hmm. Sure.
It's pretty good, I think. And she has 2 character traits. She lost her poisonous fume that she had in the season 1, but she gains pillage. So every time she makes a kick, enemy models within 4 inches of this model suffer the poison condition. So even
that's an awesome, yeah, awesome ability.
And even if she goes for a goal, because she's 3-8 kick with a 5-8 movement, so she can score. I mean, she has the ability to do that. And so you can really put some poison out there. And especially combined with her other character trait, which is extraction. And once per turn during this model activation, the controlling player may remove a condition from another model within 4 inches. If a condition is removed, this model may make a 4-inch dodge, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, again, free movement, right?
Yeah, and it's
free non-linear movement.
And it's any condition from any model. So you can remove a condition from an enemy model if you want and get that dodge.
You want to dodge out of melee or whatever so you can go steal the ball or do whatever.
Yeah, and like if you're playing against another alchemist or a rat catcher, you can remove that burning or disease from Scourge so he will hit less after because he gets his disease. So you can neuter him a bit and dodge out to keep it safe.
Insult to injury.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
And also...
go ahead.
You need to note that spillage is each time she makes a kick. So if you do a snapshot, it counts as a kick. So it doesn't have to be in her activation. The dodge needs to be in her activation, but the kick is any time. So it doesn't need to be in her activation.
That is a very good point.
She can poison away. And one thing I like, if you play her, she puts poison everywhere and you play with Venom. I know Venom is a underloved player in The Alchemist, but I kind of like him. He has a heroic play that everybody who's suffering the poison condition in a 3-inch push pulse of him, they suffer the bleed. So you use those 2 characters for last activation and depending who started and everything. So probably you'll get 2 or 3 players that's going to suffer 5 damage at the maintenance phase. So I think,
jeez.
Yeah. Usually they're slow grinding, but I think this speeds up the grinding process.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
But she's kind of fragile because she's only a 4-1 with 14 health. So you have to be careful too, not to put her too much in the melee.
But I mean, she's a ball player. They're all fragile.
Yeah.
Right.
And the last one is another fragile model.
Oh, yeah. So fragile.
Well, she's only 4-1 with 12 bucks, Paul, mind you. So
it's
Federan.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because if she gets the charge, there's going to be no one to hit her back.
Exactly.
Frick. She is a monster. Now, we don't have a render of her yet, so we can't talk about the model.
But she's got an attitude now. She lost her crossbow from her first iteration, and she gained a a long pike.
Spear thing. Yeah. Of doom. Yeah, it's terrible.
It's burning.
She has a crazy long playbook. Anyway, okay, let's look at the stats first. So, okay. 6-8 move.
Same tax, move. She, tax same six. Move as before. She gained one tack. She had five. She lost on kick, though. She was 3-8. Now she's only 3-6. But gained 1 point of defense. She was 3-1. And now she's 4-1. And she's still 4-1 for influence.
1-4. Yeah.
Yeah, 1-4. Sorry.
She was 4-1. That's kind of crazy.
Her playbook.
Actually, I think I'd prefer that.
Her playbook is way longer. She has a 7-column playbook with only a tax 6 model.
Yep. That's okay. she has a momentous. She has momentous damage every 2 results.
Yeah, every damage is momentous. So, and like she has one momentous 1-on-1, momentous 2-on-3, momentous 5-on-5, and momentous 7-on-7.
Yeah. And that's mixed in with a bunch of dodges and a tackle and one, not momentous. And I think her on 3, she has a momentous character play, right?
Yeah, which you can do with paying 2 influence. It's similar to what we have in the Hunter with Urn and Veteran Urn with the Skewered, except it doesn't do Snare. It's 3 damage on the model 6 inches away. But she doesn't do Snare, but she has Searing Strike.
Yeah.
So with her first version, she had it, but only if she was 6 inches of her master furnace. But now she's mature.
And now she just has it all the time.
Exactly. So when she damages an enemy model, he suffers -1 armor and burning for the and burning condition as well.
Yeah, she is a monster.
Well, it's the other character trait that makes her a monster.
Sweeping charge?
Yes.
Or Grim Vengeance, which one? Okay.
Well, she has sweeping charge. I think it's Thresher, was that?
I believe so.
Tater. It's Tater. Like in the farmer.
Tater?
Yeah, Tater has that. So when you charge, and in addition to any playbook damage result, all the model within this model's melee zone suffer 3 damage.
Yep.
And you have to remember that when she damages, she does -1 armor and burning as well. So with 2-inch melee, it's pretty good.
It is ridiculously good.
So if you charge, say, a singled out Seasoned Spigot.
Yeah. By example, right?
By example. And if by any chance you got instruction on her, you're able to wrap. Even if he's 3-2, you're able to wrap and you'll get that 10 damage momentous and +1 from the wrap. So that was 11 damage on the 14 health model. It was pretty brutal.
That sucked so bad, Steve. I'm not going to lie.
And she was 4 influence, so she was able to take advantage of her last character trait, which is Grim Vengeance. See, I did a bit of
Yong
special effect voice.
Yeah, yeah.
So
absolutely.
Once per turn during this model's activation, when it inflicts the taken out condition on an enemy model, this model may immediately declare an attack or kick or make a dodge, 2-inch dodge, without spending influence. So basically, she gets kind of a free influence.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
She is so wrong. I mean, she was regularly like just doing like, oh, this turn I'm just going to do, you know, a casual 14 points of damage to this guy.
Yeah, she was. Well, all the time I was putting instruction on her because she's still an apprentice, so she can benefit from all the buff from apprentices, from the masters. Usually I was not able to put tooled up on her, though, because I want to activate her fairly early. Oh, she's fragile, though, Paul. You have to admit. I mean, she's 4-1
yes.
with 12 health.
That's true. It didn't help me in the least.
You just need to get to her, which is the rough part.
Yeah.
She was the Grim Reaper.
she murderized everyone. It was terrible. I mean, she's going to be a phenomenal addition to the team.
Oh, she's going to be in my 10 all the time, for sure.
She's also going to become like everyone's favorite target. Because you cannot ignore her.
No,
Because if you let her get a charge, it'll ruin your day. It is ridiculous how good she is. She may not even stay that good right in the end, but...
But she needs setup, though, to be good, because to hit that 7, she'll need help for either singled out or most of the time instruction is so good, like plus 2 hit.
And yeah, I'm sorry. Folks may have to settle for only doing Aventus 5 damage.
Yeah. Well, 8 if it's a charge, because it's 5 plus
8, yeah, because it's sweeping charge. Plus fire condition.
And minus 1 armor for the rest of the attack.
That's right. Just saying.
But what I found is, like, you always want to put 4 influence on her, and the blacksmith only have 12 influence, so... And most of the time, the other 4 influence was on the other apprentices, so it left the masters with only 1 or 2 influence. So, yeah. You just concentrate a lot of resources on her.
Yeah.
But she'll get
it. She's a missile. She's a missile, right? She'll take out what you need taken out, and then
she'll get the job done.
Yep, no doubt about it. And that's it for the Faithful. We've covered them all.
Yeah, and we talk a bit about our game. We played 2 games with the Faithful. Both of the game I tried Vetsinder, and you just heard a couple of minutes my thought on her. She's quite good. Really good.
I actually played 3 games with the Faithful. I played one with our buddy Guillaume.
Oh, against G.
Yeah, to test out. Not Guillaume. The other Guillaume. To test out Spigot.
Oh, it's okay. We know it's the other Guillaume because you said our friend Guillaume.
Oh, so mean. So mean.
Well.
I don't know what to say about that. Jeez. Anyway,
usually
yeah, so,
you're the one who's doing that. It's your fault.
I'm going to blame it on the scotch you've been drinking.
Yeah. Liquid and English.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also going to point out that you started drinking at like 2:30 in the afternoon during the podcast.
I wanted to be ready for the podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think these walls are all going to be great additions.
Yeah.
I really like Spigot, though. I have a hard time trying to take advantage of them. That'll come with more play, I think.
Well, for the Union player, it's a kind of odd place now because they have so many player compared to the other guilds because they didn't split the guild as Union and Church until season 4 hits in October.
I was playing them as just a Solthesian.
No, so I know.
I wasn't playing with other Union.
Local player are using them with only like the box and like more fluffily.
Yeah.
But I know like in events and tournament, there's going to be some crazy mix and match.
Yeah, and it's going to be strange because there's so many good ball players in Union now.
Yeah.
Like.
But I can't see season...
Spigot's fighting for a spot against some other people who are really good, right?
But Spigot will be really good in a black card team with... Fangtooth as well, because you could put Rage as well in there, a regular Rage, put Tooled Up on Fangtooth, then you can use Butchery from Blackheart, so that first column becomes non-momentous 4, and the second columns become momentous 5 damage. That's pretty gross.
Oh, so nasty.
So, yeah, because of that, the Union player are so spoiled for choice and crazy combination.
I may have to get Blackheart painted. just saying.
But for the other player, I don't think, like, Vet Calculus won't have the same effect as Vet Decimate for the Brewers. And I don't see Vet Chisel as having the same effect. I think none of those player will have the same effect as Vet Decimate as to like bring player back to their guild. Mason were already played because they're still really good. They've been following the curve and they're still, I feel the Masons are like a jack of all trade team.
Yeah. And they're extremely popular.
Yeah.
And they're still placing, very well at events.
Yeah, exactly. Because, they're have good options for either ball option or beatdown option.
Yeah. I think Alchemists are in a bit poorer spot than that.
Yeah, because, well, Alchemists I find They're a bit more boring to play, like, especially if you play the smoke and condition lineup. You just trash down with AoEs, wait. But the thing is, under the clock, it takes lots of damage to get those takeout. So that's the problem.
Lots of time?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said lots of damage.
Oh, lots of...
too much liquid English, Steve.
Yeah, lots of time. Lots of time. Yeah, because it's slow grinding with the condition, like two damage here and there with the poison and the blast. Yeah. Fire blast and conditions.
No momentous five on two, right? So
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and Vatkalos can do the job, but he's the only one who can help speed up the takedown.
Yeah, it's a valid point. But I think everyone else is going to be, aside from her, I see a fairly good impact from everyone.
Yeah.
In terms of gameplay.
Yeah, I think all the other player will find a place in their in the 10 lineup, and
yeah,
most of the time in the 6 as well.
I think Sakana is also another questionable player.
Well, I can see having both Sakana in the 10 lineup, depending on what you want to do, because
they kind of fill the same role.
Yeah, but
so it's gonna be interesting to see what people do.
Right. Because with the
I think you'll see either one or the other. I don't think you'll see both in a 10-man lineup.
Bag of Coffer on Siren is going to be so good. Just saying.
Bag of Coffers? Yeah.
Yeah. Bag of.
That's what you coffered. So oh, I was coffered? Like, ooh, bag of hairstyles. Yeah.
No, because there's Bag of Coffer as well for Coif in the...
Yeah, the Alchemist?
No, in the Brewers. Why I've been playing against Brewers lately, so that's why.
Yeah, I was thinking. Yeah. All good. All right. Well, I think that is a cast, my friend.
Yeah, we covered all the players, and this should be released on the day of the last spoiler, which is Vet Sender.
Yep. Yep. So everyone can be miserable on the same day.
Exactly. Thanks for taking the time to record, Paul.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure, Steve.
You have a busy schedule as well.
Yeah, well,
and you're in vacation, so
it's okay. It's not. Let's face it, we're talking about Guild Ball here. This is not exactly stressful.
Exactly.
All right, sir. Well, I will let you go, and I'll see you next cast.
Take care, Paul.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth. Or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine, at Eltonio Berg, Steve, at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by Ladrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com where you will find Indie Conquest, a blog helping indie board game designers succeed, providing useful resources from designing games, utilizing Kickstarter, and finally manufacturing and distributing your games. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.